Have you heard of a program called Take Off Pounds Sensibly? It's been around for more than 60 years and has more than 10,000 chapters worldwide. Most likely you have a chapter right where you live. Today we are talking about tops and all the usual stuff on episode 69 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. It's number 69, if you're counting.
So, Russ, you have about 2 weeks to your high school reunion. How are you doing so far?
Oh, Jeff. I got about 10 pounds to go here from my... I set my goal at about 225 for the reunion. I'm sitting here this week at 236 and a half and with 2 weeks to go. And I don't know that 5 pounds a week is going to pop off me here in the next 2 weeks.
Isn't that up a little bit from the last show?
I am up about a half pound from last show. But, you know, the good news is my pants are fitting better, looser. You know, workouts are going great. Got rid of the size 40 pants, which I was just in, and now they're all ridiculously loose, which is awesome. I've even gotten rid of some of my size 38 that are a little bit baggy now, too. So that's all going great.
Well, you got to think, when we started this show, you were 60 pounds heavier. That's a lot of weight you've lost in the last 2 years.
Yeah, 60 pounds, size 44 plus waist, and I couldn't be happier, and I am literally within, 10 pounds of my high school weight. And actually, I'm really like 2.5 pounds from my like high of high school. I'm really that 10 from my middle, kind of where I was a lot of the time during high school. So I'm really right at my high school weight, which is amazing.
So how are your goals this week?
Well, I'm going to say my eating goals, a good solid 8 out of 10. Exercise goals, that's where I've been really kicking it, and a good solid 10 out of 10. I mean, every time I have an extra chance to work out, to take a walk, I do it. I'm out here, I'm really wearing out the old elliptical, and bought some new weights, so I'm doing that too, which is great. And so motivation for the week, I'm getting, I couldn't be better, 10 out of 10.
All right, we've got a lot of content to cover in this show, so let's move right into our email and comment section. And the first email comes in from Marcus. And Marcus wrote us a fairly lengthy email telling us all about a situation. He lives part-time in Europe and travels quite a bit. He also told us about his eating habits and the things that he does to exercise. And overall, given the amount of travel that he does, he's doing very well. He plays ice hockey 3 times a week, does a spinning class once a week, lifts weights once a week, and often does a 30-minute bike ride first thing in the morning. His biggest thing is his physical fitness level, not his actual weight. He said that being able to mountain bike up a mountain is much more important to him as a measurement of his success than the numbers on his scale. I think that is a great attitude to have. So here is his actual question.
The main thing I wanted to ask you is about the number of meals you recommend. It always seems you recommend multiple small meals a day. I've tried to educate myself about this and have looked into several sources. In particular, my perceived knowledge on the subject comes from 3 individuals. 2 doctors, and 1 nutritionist, all from Europe where I live part-time. And they do not think that one should eat often. They state 2 reasons. Let me try to repeat them as best I can.
And here's reason number 1. Every time you eat, the body produces insulin, especially with sweet things or carbs. They say when insulin is present, it pretty much kills fat burn. So if you eat multiple times a day, you keep your insulin level high, thus making weight loss very hard. And my personal experience seems to back that up. I have never had success losing weight eating many small meals. However, when I eat small breakfast or none, then eat lunch, I take care not to eat anything or drink anything sweet. Then, if I play hockey that night, I eat something about 2 or 3 hours before I play. Otherwise, I have a regular dinner. And I then take care to have at least a 12 to 14 hour break of any intake, with the theory being that fat burn has time to kick in. This seems to work best for me, and oddly enough, I am never hungry in the morning at all. When I do eat breakfast, I have to make myself eat it.
All right, his second reason here is, I am told to imagine the stomach like having a ribbon around it. When one eats to a point where the stomach gets stretched, and thus that imaginary ribbon gets stretched, which would of course happen a lot quicker for a stomach that is not permanently stretched, a feeling of satisfaction sets in. I am told that if that never happens, the body interprets the situation as malnutrition and switches into starvation mode. Furthermore, I am told that psychologically, Never reaching that state is very hard and a difficult way to lose weight, because at some point the body simply craves the feeling of being full. So what do you make of this? It seems to make sense to me, and my personal experiences seem to agree. Anyway, love the podcast and would be interested to hear your thoughts on this.
All right. I decided to answer this email on the show because it's challenging one of our main beliefs about what one should be doing in order to lose weight and live a healthy lifestyle. And when I was in university studying physical education, eating frequent small meals wasn't stressed. Most of my textbooks were written in the mid to late 80s, and it wasn't until the early 90s that I really started hearing about the benefits of eating smaller and more frequent meals. Today, that advice is offered everywhere. If you search the internet for tips on weight loss, eating multiple meals every day is one of the standard suggestions. Many will say to eat 3 meals and 2 healthy snacks instead of eating 5 or 6 actual meals, but it's really the same thing. When I say that advice to eat 5 or 6 small meals a day is all over the internet, I mean it is on thousands of personal blogs and websites. Now, that by itself is compelling, but it doesn't prove anything. But it's also on sites which gather information from the internet and try and summarize it, such as about.com or mahalo.com. Now, they're a little bit better, but it's also on sites that take their information from scientific studies and professionals, such as the Mayo Clinic, WebMD, the American College of Sports Nutrition, and the National Institutes of Health, just to name a few. And of course, PubMed is now on the internet, so you have the ability to actually read through scientific studies and see what the results are. I don't know what individual European countries recommend, but when I'm teaching nutrition as part of my phys ed classes, I follow the recommendations set out by my own country. I teach Canada's Food Guide, and I have a book from Health Canada entitled Eating Well with Canada's Food Guide, a resource for educators. In it, there are sample one-day menus for different people of different ages and sexes. All of the examples have 3 meals and either 2 or 3 snacks listed. I can at least say that in Canada, this is an official position for healthy eating. One major point that I want to make is that you will never get 100% agreement on anything, especially diet and fitness topics. There will always be people that disagree for whatever reason. In anything that is scientific or medical, it is not the opinion of a doctor or two, no matter what their credentials are, that counts. It's the sum of all of the scientific evidence based on studies and practice that all add up to point more in one direction, which then becomes the consensus of scientific opinion. Just go to the bookstore and look at all of the diet books written by doctors who totally disagree with one another. You will see books side by side which have opposite viewpoints and list studies to back up what they're saying. Dr. Robert Atkins wrote a book based on eating protein and fat. Dr. Dean Ornish wrote a book on eating mostly carbohydrates, mainly from plants. Even personal trainers, such as Jillian Michaels from The Biggest Loser, says she doesn't recommend eating more than 3 meals a day. So you will never get everyone to agree to the same thing. Now, you had people who gave you reasons why you shouldn't eat multiple small meals, so I'm going to tackle their arguments. The argument about if you eat multiple meals, it will spike your insulin and slow down fat loss is 100% backwards. It is just simply wrong. It is standard medical practice in North America for healthcare professionals to tell people to eat smaller, more healthy meals, not loaded with sugar or simple carbs, to help control insulin levels. The only way that insulin levels are peaking would be from overeating or eating too much processed food full of simple carbs when you do eat. For people who are type 2 diabetics, this is how they are told to eat. When you say that you are not hungry in the morning, that's actually a sign that your metabolism has slowed to a crawl. You have not given yourself any more time for fat loss to occur because fat loss is a 24-hour process based on the total caloric deficit over those 24 hours. Now, for the argument about needing to have a lot of food in your stomach to feel full, that is sumo thinking, but I do understand it. I like to feel full as well, but I can feel full on less now that I don't stretch out my stomach on a regular basis. As well, if you eat unprocessed foods, you will simply be eating much more food than you ever did in volume. I probably eat more than double the amount of food that I used to eat when I was fat. I might eat a good 2 pounds worth of food for a meal of chicken, rice, and a ton of vegetables, and that has a lot less calories than a fast food burger and fries. The bottom line is, as long as you're not eating too little calories and eating healthy unprocessed foods, you do get to have that feeling of being really full for at least two or three of your meals every day. But I would like to say one more thing. We try to give out perfect advice, but we don't have any illusions that everyone follows everything that we say all the time. Everyone's body and situation is a little bit different, and take from us what you can. You don't have to be doing everything scientifically the best way all the time to lose weight and be healthy. You're doing a great job, and I guess the only thing that I'm really concerned about is not eating breakfast, because I think that will hurt everybody in the long run.
Yeah, breakfast is important. That's the same advice that I would give anybody, including my children. So definitely eat breakfast.
All right, well, let's move on to our second item. And this is an email that came in from Tracy, and it's more of an informational item that we think some of our listeners might find useful.
All right, and Tracy wrote here, "Hi guys, just wanted to say that the podcast is great and keep up the great work. I'm a 37-year-old male from London, Ontario, Canada, and as of today, have lost 82 pounds in just under 7 months. Just like what you guys say, not dieting, just eating healthy and making the right choices and exercising. A couple of things. One thing I did differently this time when deciding to make a change, I changed my eating habits first and never thought about exercising until my eating habits had changed after about 4 to 6 weeks of eating well, even over Christmas. I was losing weight and then added exercise to my daily activities. This worked well for me and think that others may find it a great way to start.
I have just recently discovered shirataki noodles and yam noodles. What a great discovery. I do not eat much pasta anymore, once in a blue moon, before a big hockey game or the like, but these noodles rock. A bit chewy in texture, like vermicelli, but low in carbs and calories, definitely satisfying the pasta craving. They do not have any flavor, but absorb any flavor you cook them with. And he leaves a link to his favorite recipe from thedailyplate.com. We'll also leave a couple links from Wikipedia and about.com that talk about these noodles. And he continues, just want to get your thoughts if you've had them or not, or what other listeners think of them. Later, and keep up the great work. Tracy." So Russ, have you heard about these?
You know, I have not heard of them. And taking a look at some photographs on some of these prepared noodles, you know, it kind of looks like you're eating squid tentacles. You know, it's kind of very translucent looking, real shiny. You know, I don't know that I would have picked that out as something I would want to eat.
Well, just reading from Wikipedia, it says, shirataki are very low carbohydrate, low calorie, thin, translucent, gelatinous, traditional Japanese noodles made from the konjac plant. And I think I have had them before, but if it's something that people have never tried and it's very low calorie, very low carbs, and people are interested, this might be something to try.
Yeah, I'm looking at here at the nutritional facts on here, and one serving has 4 calories. That just seems ultra low. I mean, what is this stuff? Why is it so low in calories? What am I actually eating? It's kind of strange.
Well, I think anything that's becoming more popular in North America right now that is a benefit for having a lot of fiber and low calorie, it can't hurt someone's diet, at least to go try it out one time.
Yeah, I think I will try it out, and I don't think I'll get any of my family members to try this, though. It'll be a solo effort for sure.
All right, well, let's move on to our third and final item here, and this is an email that came in from Teresa.
All right, and she wrote here, "Hello, Russ and my Jeff." She likes you, Jeff. That's good. "What can I say? I'm hooked. Love the show. It's my reward while I'm doing my daily 2-mile walk."
First and foremost, I want to say, since I don't hear it a lot from the listeners on your show, and maybe there should be more call-ins for this, but way to go, Russ. You are doing awesome on your journey. I am incredibly blown away at how you are so honest about your setback a few weeks ago and how you didn't let your setback set you back. You kept going and reaped the rewards of it this week. So I'm proud of you. And of course for you, Jeff, for keeping him honest, scolding him when he needed to be, and encouraging him along the way.
"As I was on my walk listening to your great news, I was actually feeling depressed. I don't know why. I have a great life and no reason whatsoever to be depressed. I was just feeling low, beating up myself, feeling fat, and just blah. Then there was a question from a viewer about alcohol. You were answering a question about whether or not alcohol helps or hinders in the weight loss journey. And then it was like, aha, there was a major point as to why people should avoid alcohol like the plague when they are on a weight loss journey. It's a depressant. Depression does not equal excited about exercising. Depression does not make you want to eat healthy. Depression just makes you want to curl up in a ball, eat bad, bad foods, and just sleep. I had a drink, half a bottle of wine cooler, And guess what? I was whining all day. I'm too fat. I'm sick of that journey. When you were talking about the fact that the number of people adhering to all healthy habits has decreased from 15 to 8%, I was whining, well, what do you expect? We're sick and tired of seeing people on TV like Valerie Bertinelli making it look easy when it isn't. And then I thought wine, W-I-N-E, equals wine, W-H-I-N-E.
So I went home, went to the fridge, took out every wine cooler out of the fridge and dumped it, threw it out. Sometimes when you're on a journey, you feel really good and want to celebrate with a glass of wine. Well, like I said, wine equals wine, and I'm not having it. I don't need my mind playing tricks on me on my journey. I need a clear head. So add that to your list as to why you shouldn't be drinking. Get heart healthy by exercising and eating right. Sorry to take up your podcast time, but I had to get the message out there. This is Teresa, formerly from Toronto, signing off from Maryland. Keep up the great work, guys. We love you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Teresa. I know what I cannot hear it that enough, but I appreciate those kind words. And no, it's a good idea. You know, if wine, you know, affects you then that way, you know, definitely good. Get it out of there.
And that's something that we never did cover about the effects of alcohol and how it does depress your system. And yes, you don't feel like exercising after that.
All right. That's going to do it for our email and comments for this week. I want to thank Marcus, Tracy, and Teresa for those great comments and questions. Appreciate those. There are a few ways you can get those comments and questions to us. The first way is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is by leaving a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button on the website, fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, now let's get into the web report with a couple of news items. Jeff, what do you have?
Well, I found a really interesting item on the newyorktimes.com, and it was entitled, How the Food Makers Captured Our Brains. And it's an article about Dr. David Kessler, who is the former head of the Food and Drug Administration. He has a new book out called The End of Overeating, and it raises some really interesting points. First of all, this Dr. Kessler admits that he has a problem with overeating himself and has gained and lost weight many, many times. And partially, he wrote this book to try and help himself and to figure out why he can't seem to resist the temptation of snack foods. At the end of the article, he says that writing this book has allowed him to keep his weight relatively stable, but he says, now, if you stress me and fatigue me and put me in an airport and the plane is 7 hours late, I'm still going to grab those chocolate-covered pretzels. The old circuitry will still show its ugly head. What he's trying to discover is why some foods are just so addictive to so many people, and what he has discovered is that individual ingredients aren't particularly potent, but by combining fats, sugar, and salt, food makers have essentially tapped into the brain's reward system, creating a feedback loop that stimulates our desire to eat and leaves us wanting more and more, even when we're full. And he also found out that foods that contain too little or too much sugar, fat, or salt are either bland or overwhelming. But food scientists, they actually work hard to reach the precise point at which we derive the greatest pleasure from fat, sugar, and salt. Foods that take less chewing are also more addictive. The Snickers bar, for instance, is what he considers an extraordinarily well-engineered food. As we chew it, the sugar dissolves, the fat melts, and the caramel traps the peanuts, so the entire combination of flavors is blissfully experienced in the mouth at the same time. One of his main messages is that overeating is not due to an absence of willpower, but a biological challenge made more difficult by the overstimulating food environment that surrounds us. Food companies design food for irresistibility, and it's part of their business plan to be addictive like this. So all the things that are bad for us, fat, sugar, and salt, all of these foods are using these combinations, and that's really what's getting us addicted to them. These didn't exist in the past when you're just eating regular, healthy, unprocessed foods. So Russ, do you have certain foods like this that you're just addicted to? If you have a bite of it, you just can't stop yourself?
You know, there are too many to even mention. A few off the top of my head, it's the chocolate and salt. That's really a big thing of mine. So when you mentioned Snickers there, that's a really big one. He even mentions like what the solution is to this is don't eat those processed foods. And it's even more interesting if you go to the article and click through and you'll find a podcast or interview of this Dr. Kessler and the writer of the article. And it's really interesting to listen to it as well, because he's very passionate about this subject. And he's like, you know, it's not your fault. If you eat even a little bit of these processed foods with this fat and sugar and salt, you're going to be trapped. They're going to suck you in because it's your brain telling you, yes, this is what I want. And so, again, listen to the audio, because it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, it was a really good article. So, Russ, what do you have for us this week?
All right, this week, instead of a news item, I've got a post here from zenhabits.net, and it's entitled Minimalist Fitness, How to Get in Lean Shape with Little or No Equipment. Now, you've heard in the past, I am a fan of the no weight or body weight workouts. It's just nice to, wherever you are, stop down, you know, do squats, push-ups, burpees, sit-ups, anything that you can do with your body weight. It's just great to do. And this is just a sample workout, and they mention things like pull-ups, push-ups, squats, and then create your own workout from this mix and add in some cardio, and you can get a really amazing workout without having to have benches or an elliptical machine or weights or anything like that. And, you know, it's just whenever you can get a workout in, you know, try one of these.
I like in the article, he has a sample workout here that lists 11 different exercises, and they all have videos that go along with them, so you can see exactly what he wants you to do.
Right, so if you're not familiar with burpees, or I have no idea what a Hindu push-up is, you can just click on the video, it takes you to a YouTube link, and you can see somebody doing a Hindu push-up. So, you know, it's great, because you don't have to know everything, just want to go out and get the information.
All right, well, let's move on to the feature section. And the feature section this week, we are talking about tops. Take off pounds sensibly. And this is something that is international in scope, and we had no idea about it until just recently.
Yeah, so Jeff found a news item that mentioned tops, and I had never heard of it. And he did a little research and found that there were a whole bunch of these chapters of this program, Take Off Pounds Sensibly, in his area. And I did the same thing, and I could not believe how many there were. So I'm just going to read a little bit here from their literature. It's called Tops Club Inc. is a nonprofit, non-commercial weight loss support organization based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with chapters located worldwide. Its twofold objective is to encourage healthy lifestyles through weight management, support groups, and to sponsor obesity research. And I'll mention a little bit of that later. It was founded in 1948, 61 years ago, Jeff. Did you have any idea that it had been around for that long?
No, I was absolutely amazed because I'd never heard of it. I found this news item, I did a search, and I found dozens and dozens of these things right in my area where I live. I was thinking it was just an American thing, and of course you found tons of chapters as well. So I was shocked that we haven't heard about this, and we've been doing this show for almost 2 years.
It is amazing. But I'll continue here. Again, it was founded as a response for the need to assist overweight and obese people to lose weight by setting up a support group system. They have 170,000 members in nearly 10,000 chapters, 10,000 in the United States, Canada, and other countries around the world, and includes women, men, and children in these programs. They do have dues. They're about $26 annually in the United States, $30 in Canada, plus nominal chapter fees to cover operating costs for the chapters, but they're on average around $5 a month. This is very interesting that new members are supposed to check in with their doctor to obtain a goal weight for themselves. So instead of just, you know, picking a weight that's unrealistic or unhealthy, they require you to go to the doctor and get checked out and make sure that you are getting a good goal weight for yourself. They report this weight to their chapter's weight recorder, and then members of TOPS meet weekly to do a private weigh-in that's followed by some sort of program. As mentioned earlier, TOPS supports medical research. TOPS financial support of medically oriented activities began in 1966 with the funding of an obesity and metabolic research program at the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, where it was founded. To date, more than $6 million from TOPS earnings and member contributions have funded this research. Findings from the program have been published in more than 140 papers in medical journals, so that's very interesting. We'll have links to tops.org. It's the website where you can find out more information on them and some other reviews that other sites have done on the TOPS program. So to really know what goes on these meetings, because really all that's mentioned in any other review of TOPS is, number one, it's like Weight Watchers. Okay, if you haven't been to Weight Watchers, you don't know. And two, the members weigh in, you know, each week. Okay, that's pretty thin information. So I visited a local chapter here in Long Beach. And if you visit the website at www.tops.org, there's a little find a chapter link at the top left of the page. You put in your zip code and the site will give you a list of the closest chapters. And of course, there's 10,000 chapters. There's going to be one near you. There's 10 within 10 miles of me, two of which were at churches that are in my neighborhood. They're literally, I could walk to them. So I showed up at the meeting during the weigh-in time, which is about an hour before the actual start of the meeting, and was met by, hey, you know, are you the radio guy? Because apparently I emailed ahead and they knew I was coming. So that was interesting. The weigh-in proceeded, and then each person that lost weight received a raffle ticket to be used later in the meeting. Out of the 10 people that were at this meeting, only two didn't lose any weight. So a full 8 out of the 10 did, which is very cool. So at the meeting, they started out with a flag salute, which is what was really cool to see. And they sang a song. There's a little songbook they have, and these songs are written by other TOPS members. They're very cute little songs. They have to do with perseverance and weight loss and being on this TOPS program. Then they read a motivational quote, not unlike we give you at the end of the show. The announcements occurred next, followed by the coolest little portion of the meeting, the weight report roll call. So during this roll call, each person in the group told what they had lost or gained that week, really putting everybody on the spot. There were some big weight losers in this group. David lost 5 pounds. Ralph lost 4.5. Judy lost 3.75. And Karen was the biggest loser of the night, losing 5.5 pounds. So the group also mentioned the names of members that weren't there. As the names were read off, one person said, we need to hold her accountable. They're looking at the people who are not there and making sure later on that they get their weights and make sure that they are accountable to the group. That's part of the whole TOPS process here. So after the roll call, they passed out paper clips that represented the pounds they had lost. Big paper clip for 1 pound and a smaller paper clip for any part of a pound. There's also a moment when those who didn't make any weight loss for the week asked to be challenged by one of the others in the group. That challenger would then call the challengee and make sure that they were on task to make some headway in their weight loss during the next week. So the program portion of the meeting was next. And fortunately or unfortunately for me, this group meeting, they played something called Topsy. It's a bingo game with bags of fresh fruit and vegetables as the prize. And this game's only played 4 times a year, and I happened to luck out and be there for the game this time. So, and I'm happy to say that I came away with a bag of fruit, a bag of vegetables, and a nice bag of garlic. So, good for me here. I mentioned that everyone gets a ticket. The raffle's next. Everyone who lost weight got a ticket for a chance at a prize. So the meeting closed with their TOPS pledge, more what I would call like a positive affirmation. And it went a little something like this. I'm an intelligent person. I will control my emotions and not let my emotions control me. Every time I attempt to use food to satisfy my frustrated desires, build up my injured ego, or dull my senses, I will remember, even though I overeat in private, excess poundage is there for the world to see. I will take off pounds sensibly. So it's kind of my little review. You know, it was really a positive experience. The people there were extremely nice and they were very supportive of each other. And that's really the only thing that was mentioned at the meeting was, you know, we're here to support one another and, you know, they're not pushing any products. You know, they're there to have a good time and to be there for each other. So I came away with a very positive feeling about this program.
Well, I think if anyone's looking for a support group that's, you know, $5 a month and extra fees was at $25 a year, that's really nothing for the support that you can get. And I think that just might help out a lot of people who are looking for this extra little push for accountability.
Yep. I'm going to mention one thing because I did have a couple little questions I didn't quite get a chance to answer here. But there was a couple members that had been there for quite a long time. One member had been there since 1970, I'm going to say it was 72, 71, 38 years. He had been a member of this TOPS program. And they also have a group called COPS, Keep Off Pounds Sensibly. When you reach your goal weight, when you're within, I think it was 3 pounds up or 5 pounds below, you get in this program and you're like one of their life members. And they have a couple of those that come to the meetings. But this person, one in particular, was in there for 38 years and hadn't reached that COPS level yet. So that's kind of interesting. I think there's a chance there when you have that kind of support group, when it becomes more of a social group to you instead of a, you know, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here not just to, you know, lose weight and then get out, or, you know, lose weight and then maintain. When it comes to be like, you know, I'm going to be in this group for forever, you know, it's a little dangerous because, you know, you never reach that goal.
So, Russ, was this person close to their goal, or were they very overweight?
You know, he had lost about 100 pounds already. But this is, again, over a 38-year period, which is quite a long time. There was one individual who had joined about a year ago, and he'd lost 100 pounds, which was amazing. So, you know, there are people who are, you know, in the program, ready to lose weight, and they do it. But I just, you know, as it becomes more of a social thing, I think, yeah, I need to just take a look at, you know, why am I here? If it's to have a social thing, that's cool. But, you know, if you're there to lose weight, I think, you know, you try to lose weight and you do the work.
Well, I think we've given a lot of things for our listeners to think about this week. Shirataki noodles and tops. What a great combination.
Yeah, you know, and this is one of those things that I have no problem saying, hey, you know, check it out. If there's one in your area, I think that, you know, anybody could benefit from this program. So that's about it.
Well, that sounds really good. Well, let's move on to our recipe of the week.
Yeah, so the recipe of the week is from listener Anna in Seattle. Now, I had emailed Anna and told her that I was going to use this recipe on show number 67. Here it is on number 69, so I'm off a couple shows. Hopefully she's still listening and is going to hear her recipe. The recipe is for healthy chocolate blueberry oatmeal. Now, she had me a chocolate here, so this is why it's here in the recipe of the week. She starts by cooking old-fashioned oats in boiling water in a pan, and she adds a healthy portion of frozen blueberries. And as they thaw, she also adds in wheat bran, which adds fiber, ground flaxseed, and some soy protein powder. And then for her special ingredient, Hershey's Special Dark Cocoa Powder. She puts a tablespoon of this in. It's only about 5 calories, and it adds a lot of great flavor. And so, you know, it sounds kind of strange a little bit, but at the same time, really good. And as she serves it up, she puts a scoop of low-fat yogurt on top, kind of a topping. So I'm going to try this out. I've got some dark chocolate, and I'm going to be doing this probably tomorrow, maybe this weekend. But definitely for sure, try out the healthy chocolate blueberry oatmeal.
That sounds really good. I'm going to try that as well.
Yeah, you don't have to do the whole thing. Just maybe just add that chocolate and some blueberries. That sounds really good. Anyway, Jeff, what is our homework for everyone this week?
Well, we all have to admit there are foods that we are addicted to and are bad for us. It's really not your fault because the food industry has created them to have that perfect combination of fat, sugar, and salt. And it's like what we said earlier. There are certain foods that I personally never buy because I know that I cannot stop myself from eating the entire package or bag. The homework this week is that if you have any of these foods in your home right now that are tempting you, throw them out and don't allow them back in your home. If you save them for later, they will never be any more healthy for you or any less addictive than they are right now. Don't let an engineered food product undo all of your hard work.
So yeah, malt balls, that's one of my really just love those foods. So I'll have to get rid of those this week. Jeff, what is our quote for the week?
Well, the quote this week comes from Dr. Ann Wigmore, and it is, "The food you eat can be either the safest and most powerful form of medicine or the slowest form of poison."
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Again, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for downloading, and thank you for sending in your questions and comments. We really love answering those and putting them here on the show. All the show notes will be over at the website, fat2fitradio.com. And with that, we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.
Balls, Jeff.
That's what I thought you said.